time, Pastor Tom Baker, for Law and Gospel on this May the 4th in the year of our Lord 2016. And Insight Wednesday is usually where I talk about something that I find interesting. I have definitely guests, Mark Smith yesterday, and of course, Wes Reimnitz tomorrow. But today I have a special guest, and that is Dr. Alvin Schmidt. If you've been listening to other programs on KFUO, you may have heard him. He's a retired professor of 36 years teaching at various places at our Seward School of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, also serving Fort Wayne, other places, plus congregations. Best known for his excellent work, How Christianity Changes the World. And he's also got items in the Encyclopedia of Christian Civilization and, of course, the Anonymous God. And so we welcome, therefore, Dr. Schmidt. Hello.
Hello.
Anything else you want to say about your experience?
No, you pretty much covered the front, so we'll leave it at that.
Now, why do we have him on the air today? Well, as you know, I had the privilege of going to an open house of a Muslim mosque, the Northwest Islamic Center, and it's over here in St. Louis. It's only 2 miles from my house. And I listened to their PowerPoint presentation. The imam was very friendly, and I still have a lot of questions, because when the question time came, they had their second prayer time, and I was unable to ask questions, but I'm giving some consideration about going back and talking to him personally. Well, why is Dr. Schmidt here? Well, the day after, he sent me a critical letter in an email about something I had said that he disagreed with. So if he's correct, that's my first mistake in 19 years that No, that's not really true. It's probably my 100th mistake here on KFUO. But he makes a point that I had remembered he actually wrote about in a book. But I made mention of the fact that we need to distinguish between the faith of the Islamic religion and the faith of Christianity. And he wrote this email. I'm going to have him explain why he's not in sync with me on that, and then I'll respond. So, by the way, Pastor Mark Smith says hi to you, because you're in the same circuit.
Say hi to him as well.
And at one circuit meeting, he said, you spent some time on this subject, and now you tell me you're almost thinking of writing a book. So can you explain your position and your critique of what I had said?
Well, I made the comment in relative to your presentation the other day when you were saying, like everyone else does in our country, the Muslim faith. You repeated that many times. And we say this not only relative to Muslims, we also say it relative to the Mormons, the Hindus, and so on. Well, that is really an anti-biblical statement. The scriptures do not, the New Testament in particular, do not talk about the faith of non-believers. In fact, a few years ago, a German scholar by the name of Dieter Lehrman wrote an article, for example, in the Anchor Bible, published in 1992, and there are a couple of other guys, but he made the point that the concept of pistis, which is the Greek word for faith, had no religious meaning or connotation in the Greek society. Paul took this particular word, pistis, and gave it a theological meaning. And so throughout the New Testament, when the word faith is used, for example, it's used in two different ways. It is used, for example, in terms of the content of Christianity. For example, in the book of Acts, where it says, and they became obedient to the faith, which is stein piston in the Greek, the faith. And when Paul said, I have kept the faith, he was referring to Christianity as the content of faith. And then there is also the other portion of the subjective faith, where, for example, the act of believing, when you speak of Christianity, as I just mentioned a while ago, the content of faith, which is often referred to as the objective faith, the faith that you and I have in terms of believing the content is what's subjective faith. But what happened over the years, and I have pretty much, I think, traced it back, when did it happen that we applied the word faith to other religious groups? Or said in another way, when did we make faith a synonym of religion? That is really what's happened here. Instead of saying the Muslim faith, we should say the Muslim religion. To say it's a faith is absolutely biblically incorrect. It also gives a false impression to the world that they are all religions are all on the same plane. One is no better than the other in terms of accuracy, content, or truth. This is exactly, again, a departing from Scripture. When Paul wrote about, for example, the faith, he didn't talk about other religions. In fact, the word that is often used for other religions in Paul is simply unbelievers, apistos. But he did not describe other religions as faith groups. Schleiermacher, a German liberal theologian back in the early 1800s and 1820s, basically also went even a step farther. And what he did, he pluralized the word faith. And so today we often speak about different faith groups. You see, pluralizing, and that again is a departure from the New Testament. And we abuse it many other ways. We speak about faith crimes. What we really mean is about crimes happening in religious settings or by religious groups. We speak about the faith of atheists, another distortion of the concept of faith. I might also mention in this context that Lutheran theology is really the only theology that defines faith. One of the problems we have, we never define faith. We sort of let culture basically give us the impression. And so you have all kinds of a common understanding of faith is the absence of evidence or believing in the absence of evidence is faith. No, that's not faith. That's unbelief. That is no faith. Mark Twain once said, faith is believing something that we know didn't happen. That's not faith. That's unbelief. And so we have the constant misuse of the word faith. We talk about faith-based charity groups. What do we mean? We mean faith, not faith-based group. We mean different religious groups involved. Again, we took the Christian concept of faith and applied it to religion. In other words, made it a synonym to religion. We speak about faith traditions. We speak about the leap of faith. Kierkegaard was noted for saying that particular term. Mm-hmm. In other words, it is ultimately believing something that in reality we do not see as historically true. That's modern liberal theology. And Lutherans, to go back to it, when I said they were really the only ones who have ever defined faith, and there are three elements to it in the Lutheran confessions. One is notitia, the Latin word for knowledge. Number one. Number two was a census, giving assent to that historical knowledge that happened in this world. And third was fiducia, trusting that particular knowledge. So Lutherans have three criteria for the concept of faith: knowledge, assent, and trust. Usually we never hear that at all. And yet, as I said, we as Lutherans have that in our confessions. And it's very, very important because modern understanding of faith is that there is no evidence for what you believe. Well, that is totally unbiblical. We also sometimes confuse it in another way. And we, even as clergy sometimes, are never really, let's say a layman comes into your office and says, Pastor, I believe in the resurrection of Christ. Immediately I would stop. You mean you don't know? It's not a matter of belief, the resurrection. For example, we would not say that I believe Christ was crucified. We'd say we know he was crucified. Similarly, we have to say with the resurrection, whether the resurrection happened is not a matter of faith. That's a matter of history. I mean, I'm talking about Christ's resurrection. whether I will be raised from the dead, that's a matter of faith. But whether Christ was raised from the dead is not a matter of faith. That's a fact of history. That distinction we have to keep very, very clear. But again, the word faith is so broadly used today that it covers almost anything pertaining to some religious belief.
Okay, I've got a response to that. You know, if you've been listening to me for some 19 years, I love to contradict people. So I said, I know how I can show that Dr. Schmidt is wrong. I will go to the scripture, and I did, and I looked up every word, every time the word faith is used, because I was looking for them talking about the faith of Baal or the faith of these other false religions. And I have to say, to my surprise, I didn't find one verse.
There aren't any.
No, there aren't any. Like Romans 14, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Galatians 3:7, that those of faith are the sons of Abraham. And 2 Thessalonians, brothers, pray for us, for not all have faith. And then James 2:26, as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. And of course, James is talking about the distinction here between historical faith, where you just believe the history, but don't trust the promises. And that does, that means there's no works of sanctification. So, for what, the 100th time in my ministry here on KFUO, I am in agreement with Dr. Schmidt as to what he is saying about the word faith. And I will be very careful, hopefully in the future, that I don't talk about the faith of the Muslims or Muslim faith, etc., that use the word religion instead. Now, here's the question I would have, because I talked to some people before this, and one of them said that a lot of people just understand faith as the belief system. Therefore, why can't you say that here's what the Muslims believe or this is their faith? How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, we have to make a distinction between faith and belief.
Oh, this is good. Okay, explain that.
If you look, for example, at the King James Bible, it uses the word pistis and translated it as faith 233 times. Only once does it use the word belief, and even there the context really talks about faith in terms of pistis, the Greek.
Yes.
Now, what's important here, for example, is that faith, biblically speaking, comes before belief.
Faith comes before belief.
They're not synonymous.
Well, that would be Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew.
Right.
You have to first be given faith.
Right.
That's what we do in
right.
infant baptism.
Right.
And then that results in beliefs.
Right. And then there's one other problem with the word belief.
Yes.
For example, I can say, I believe it's going to rain today.
Right.
Which means I really don't know.
Yes.
It's just a guess.
Yeah.
But when we talk about Christian biblical faith, remember, we're talking about knowledge, something that happened factually. And this is modern liberal theologist Bultmann, Tillich, Bonhoeffer have all departed from that. For example, let me just cite one passage from Bonhoeffer. He says, for example, in Latin, first of all, I'll translate, Vita Christi Scribi Non potest. The life of Jesus cannot be written. He did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, nor did he believe that Jesus Christ was really a historical person. It was all a matter, and now here we come, a matter of faith without any historical empirical verification.
And we get the historical empirical verification from Scripture itself.
From Scripture itself.
I mean, 500 people saw him.
Right. That's what Paul said. And if Christ had not been risen from the dead, your faith is in vain. It's futile. It's useless.
You're still in your sins.
Right. Exactly what he said.
Yes.
Now, what's also important, for example, and Paul cites that from 500 people saw him, he cited himself, and he cited the apostles.
Right. Now, is not in the Greek, though, the word for faith and belief the same word?
No.
Oh, what's the word for belief? in the Greek?
I don't know. It just talks about, when it talks about faith, it's not talking about our understanding of belief. That's my point. I don't know if there is a word just for belief itself, et cetera. I don't think there is, but I could be wrong.
So when we talk about the beliefs of the Islamic religion, is that inappropriate to say that?
I still do think technically you could say it would be okay, but also most people understand belief and faith as synonymous, therefore I wouldn't use it that way.
Well said, well said. So faith, and I was surprised when I went through every Bible verse. I've got Bible Works, and so it had it up there, and it was in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And there wasn't one time it talked about the faith of the Baal worshipers or anything like that. Every time the word faith is used again and again and again, it's always talking only about Christian faith. And you are correct that those who don't have that Christian faith, then they are, it's still the word pistis, but it has an ah in front of it, an elf, which means it's unbelief.
Right.
Yeah. So this is kind of good to help. I appreciate that. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
That I didn't get a chance to ask the imam. In Christianity, we don't believe all the laws of the Old Testament because the ceremonial and civil are no longer part of us. The Muslims don't have any distinction there in their Quran. So my question is, how do you explain how you can have Muslims with imams that give different interpretations of the same text? For example, it says that you better not be friends with an infidel. It says that in the Quran.
It also said not with Jews or Christians.
Exactly. I have a whole list of these. Now, when I was at this open house, they were very friendly with all of us. What is there in the Islamic faith that allows different interpretations?
How easy we slip back into it?
You're right. I said that on purpose. See if you were listening to me. So what is there about the Islamic religion that permits some groups to deny the clear teaching of the Quran and other ones not to?
Say that again. I'm not sure.
Okay. Obviously, the extremist Muslims believe that infidels are bad. You should never be friends with them.
And should be killed.
And then their whole views about women. That's all found in the Quran.
Yes.
How do moderate Islamic folks deny that?
Well, they don't really deny it. They overlook it.
In
fact, one of the problems that the media have, for example, when they talk about peaceful Islam, or Islam is a religion of peace, then you immediately have to ask a question. Do you believe the Quran as a Muslim? Because if you do, how about the 100 and some violent passages, by the way, and they're all in the present tense, they're not in the past tense, conveying history.
Right, like Surah 8, number 10, strike off the heads of infidels and strike off every fingertip.
Right.
Now, I was told, and Wes Reimness did a little work on that, that the imam has the ability to reinterpret the Quran for his own people, and that's why you have a distinction between moderate. Is that their teaching?
No, they may tell you that, but
yes.
The moment they do that, they are violating the basic statements in the Quran. They're violating the hadith, which are the traditions of Muhammad, etc., and they're violating all of Islamic history.
Now, they don't think they are.
Well, that's what, you see, something you and I have to know about, what the media never tell us. There is a very important concept in Islam religion called taqiyya. Taqiyya basically means you can tell an untruth if it serves the cause of Allah, which in essence is what we in the Western society would say, falsehood. You can use falsehood to obtain a certain objective, or the end justifies the means. And when an informed Muslim, and I talk about, and I mean the informed Muslim, is telling you what you just said, he is using taqiyya. He knows very well that what he is saying is not really true, but he will try to convey this to you so you will accept his particular statements and beliefs.
In their PowerPoint presentation, to back up what you're saying, the first statement made is, do you believe in God? He said, if you do, that's Allah.
He's right.
He gave the impression that we believe in Allah.
Well, you see, that's another problem. For example, Allah, to an informed Muslim, and I keep saying informed, a true Muslim, not a so-called moderate Muslim. I will argue that a moderate Muslim, if he really is, he's not a Muslim.
Really?
Or he's a very poor Muslim.
Because you're saying the extremists are really the traditionalists who follow Sharia law as explained.
One of the unfortunate things that the media have been telling us is the term radical Islam or
okay,
Muslim.
Explain that, please.
If you follow the Quran, you are a radical, because the Quran is a radical book.
Yes.
And so when you have a moderate Muslim, he is either practicing taqiyya, telling a certain untruth to deceive the hearer, or, for example, he is himself an unbeliever, which I frankly doubt. It's also important to remember, for example, that the word Allah and God to the informed Muslim are not acceptable terms. Mm. And I always tell people, go to a large bookstore like Barnes & Noble, and there are usually about a half a dozen translations, different ones of the Quran. About half of them will never translate the word Allah as God. Hmm. When they do, it's again a taqiyya concept to deceive the non-Muslim. So Allah and God are not synonymous terms to an informed, committed Muslim.
Yes, he was very honest that they don't believe that Jesus is God, but he was a prophet like Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Muhammad. They named about 10. And then he said something I had never heard before, that we believe that all of these prophets, although they're not divine, they committed no sins.
Well, yes.
Is that part of the Islamic faith? Islamic religion?
No, that basically, I would argue, his belief. I don't think he could document it from the Quran or from the Hadith.
Really? Oh, why would he say that, I wonder? Well, because
either ignorance or taqiyya, again, either one.
Interesting, because right away I thought about David and Bathsheba.
Right.
That wasn't a sin. That was, okay, I need some advice from you. He was very friendly. Is it worth me going and having a private conversation with the imam there, asking these questions?
Oh, yes. I would, any and every opportunity, I would do so. You see, much of what I'm saying here is I've studied Islam now for at least 15 years, rather intensively. But I have also learned and become friends with four ex-Muslims, two of them former bomb throwers. And I am in close communication with these people. And whenever I have certain things that I'm not 100% of, I check. They were both, all spoke Arabic, grew up in the Middle East. And so everything that I've said here so far or have said elsewhere, they would corroborate 100%.
Yes, a good friend of mine, district president, when he was in the Rocky Mountain District, Randy Golter, they had a former Coptic priest that became a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, and he does conversions through the internet, and they have a whole bunch of Muslims who have become Christians because of his work. So our goal is to move them from a religion to the faith.
Right. And the faith, again, meaning only Christianity.
Yes. Well, you've really helped me here understand that the word faith, we need to be very careful that it is used for Christianity. Any final comments?
And one other comment. We have to very consciously and deliberately try not to use the word of faith, because we hear it all around us, and before long we unknowingly echo it. And
right.
That's what we really have to discipline yourself. I remember, for example, when I was in grade school, the teacher told us, never use the word ain't. I made it a point that I never use the word ain't except for an illustration purpose. We have to do the same thing relative to the concept of faith. Do not apply it to any non-Christian group. And you will slip every now and then, but eventually, if you concentrate, you will get it right.
So a conversion process is actually a move from a religion to faith.
Right.
Christianity. And I think that distinction that you made earlier about the two kinds of faith are very helpful also. Namely, we must distinguish between the content of Christianity and the subjective act of believing.
Right.
Yes. So we do have a faith. That's what the Book of Concord is all about. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to believe.
Exactly right. And that's, again, the subjective aspect.
And the way that comes about is, guess what? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Right. I really appreciate this, Dr. Schmidt. Perhaps you'll be back if we have this interview with this imam, because I'm going to ask some more questions. That's Dr. Alvin Schmidt, folks. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow on Law and Gospel with Wes Reimnitz, we're going to be talking about ascension. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.